7. The monitoring and recording transmitting satellite, Prince Albert BY, creaked out its first video signal, a transcript of the first video telescopic records which it had taken of the surface beneath it in over a decade. Portions of the long inert network of MIND parts failed. Backup systems, however, took over, and some of these failed too. But the signal, directed toward the Sol system 24 light-years away, was sent out. And on the surface of Fomalhaut 9, an eye winked. And from it a ground-to-air missile rose, and in a period so slight that only the finest measuring devices could have detected a lapse period at all, arrived at its target. The groaning carrot-shaped monitoring satellite which had, inoperative, silently existed, and hence harmlessly, up to now. The warhead of the missile detonated, and the Prince Albert BY ceased to exist, soundlessly, because at its altitude there was no atmosphere to transmit the event in the dimension of noise. And at the same time, on the surface below, a powerful transmitter accepted a tape run at enormous velocity. The signal, amplified by a row of cold, superbly built surge gates, reached transmission level and was released. Oddly, its frequency coincided with that of the signal just emitted by the now non-existent satellite. What would radiate from the two separate transmitters would blend in a cacophony of meaningless garble. Satisfied, the technicians operating the ground transmitter switched to more customary channels and tasks. The deliberately deranged combined signal sped across space toward the Sol system, beamed in its mad confusion at a planet which, when it received this, would possess nothing but a catfight of noise. And the satellite, reduced to its molecular level by the warhead, would emit no more signals. Its life was over. The event, the first transmission by the satellite up into the final scramble by the far more powerful surface transmitter, had consumed 5 minutes, including the flight and demolition of the missile. The missile and its priceless, elaborate, never-to-be-duplicated target. A target which certain circles had long ago agreed in formal session could be readily sacrificed were the need to arise. The need had arisen, and the satellite was duly gone. At the site of the missile launching, a helmeted soldier leisurely fitted a second G-to-A missile into the barn, attached both its anode and cathode terminals, made sure that the activating board was relocked by the same key through which he had obtained official entry, and then he too returned to his customary chores. Time lapse? Perhaps 6 minutes in all. And the planet, Fomalhaut 9, revolved on. Deep in thought as she sat in the comfortable leather padded seat of the luxury taxi Flapple, Freya Holm was startled by the sudden mechanical voice of the vehicle's articulation circuit. "Sir or madam, I request your pardon, but a deterioration of my meta-battery forces me without choice to land for a quick charge without delay. Please give me oral permission as an acknowledgement of your willingness, otherwise we will glide to destruct." Looking down, she saw the high-rise spires of New New York, the ring of city outside the inner old Kremlin of New York itself. Late for work, she said to herself, "Damn it." But the Flapple was correct. If its meta-battery, its sole power supply, were failing, to get out of the sky and on the surface at a repair station was mandatory. A long, powerless glide would mean death in the form of collision with one of the tall commercial buildings below. "Yes," she agreed resignedly and groaned, and today was the day. "Thank you, sir or madam." With sputtering power, the Flapple spiraled down until at last, under adequate control, it coasted to a rather rough but at least not dangerous halt at one of New New York's infinite Flapple service stations. A moment later, uniformed service station men swarmed over the parked Flapple, searching for, as one explained courteously to her, for the short which had depleted the meta battery. "Good, normally," the attendant told her cheerfully, "for 20 years. Opening the Flapple door, the attendant said, "May I check under the passenger's console, please? The wiring there, those circuits, take a lot of hard use. The insulation may be rubbed off." He, a Negro, seemed to her pleasant and alert, and without hesitation she moved to the far side of the cab. The Negro attendant slid in, closed, then the Flapple door. "Moon and cow," he said, the current and highly temporary ident code phrase of members of the police organization Lies Incorporated. Taken by surprise, Freya murmured, Jack Horner. Who are you? I never ran into you before. He did not look like a field rep to her.
A tween space pilot. I'm Al Dosker. I know you. You're Freya Holm.
He was not smiling now. He was quiet, serious, and as he sat beside her, perfunctorily running his fingers over the wiring of the passenger's control console, he said, half-chantingly,
I have no time, Freya, for small talk. I have 5 minutes at the most. I know where the short is because I sent this particular Flapple taxi to pick you up, see?
I see, she said, and within her mouth bit on a false tooth. The tooth split and she tasted the bitter outlayer of a plastic pill, a container of prussic acid, enough to kill her if this man proved to be from their antagonists. And at her wrist she wound her watch, actually winding a low-velocity, homeostatic, cyanide-tipped dart, which she would control by the watch controls. It could either take out this man or, if others showed up, herself in case of a failure of the oral poison. In any case, she sat back rigid, waiting.
You, the Negro said, are Matson's mistress. You have access to him at any time. This I know. This is why I've approached you. Tonight at 6 p.m., New York time, Matson Glazer Holiday will arrive at an outlet of Trails of Hoffman, carrying 2 heavy suitcases. He will request permission to emigrate. He will pay his 6 postcreds, or 7, if his luggage is overweight, and then be teleported to Whale's Mouth. And at the same time, at every teleport outlet throughout Terra, a total aggregate of roughly 2,000 of his toughest veteran field reps will do the same.
She said nothing. She stared straight ahead. Within her purse, an odd recorder captured all this, but heaven only knew for what. The Negro said,
On the far side, he, by deploying his veterans and the WEP equipment, which they will assemble from components carried in their suitcases as personal articles, will attempt a coup, will halt emigration, make at once inoperative the Telpors, toss President Omar Jones.
So? She said, If I know this, why tell me?
Because, Dosker said, I'm going to Horst Berthold 2 hours before 6. I believe that it is usually considered 4 o'clock.
His voice was icy, harsh.
I'm an employee of Lies Incorporated, but I did not join the organization to participate in a power play like this. On Terra, Matson G.H. stands about where he ought to be, 3rd in the pecking order, on Whale's Mouth.
And you want me, Freya said, to do exactly what between now and 4 o'clock, 7 hours?
Inform Matson that when he and the 2,000 LI field reps arrive at the retail outlets of THL, they will not be teleported, but will be arrested and undoubtedly painlessly murdered in the German manner.
This, she said, is what you want? Matson dead and them, those... She gestured, gripping, clawing the air. Berthold and Ferry and von Einem to run the corporate Terran Whale's Mouth political economic entity with no one to...
I don't want him to try.
Listen, Freya said bitingly. The coup that Matson expects to carry out at Whale's Mouth is based on his assumption that a home army of 300 ignorant volunteers exists over there. I don't think you have to worry. The problem is that Matt actually believes the lies he sees on TV. He's actually incredibly primitive and naive. Do you think it's a promised land over there, with a tiny volunteer army waiting for someone to come along with real force, aided by modern WEP technology, such as Matt possesses, to harvest for the asking? If this were so, do you honestly believe Berthold and Ferry would not have done it already?
Dosker, disconcerted, eyed her hesitantly.
I think, she said, that Matt is making a mistake. Not because it's immoral, but because he's going to discover that once he's over there, he and his 2,000 veterans, he'll be facing...
She broke off.
I don't know, but he won't succeed in any coup d'etat. Whoever runs new colonized land will handle Matt. That's what terrifies me. Sure, I'd like him to stop. I'd be glad to tell him that one of his top employees, who knows all the inside details about the coup, is going to, at 4 p.m., tip off the authorities. I'll do everything in my power, Dosker, to get him to abandon the idea, to face the fact that he's wandering idiotically into a terminal trap. My reasons and yours may not...
What do you think, Dosker said, is over there, Freya?
Death.
For everybody?
He stared at her.
40 million? Why?
The days, she said, of Gilbert and Sullivan and Jerome Kern are over. We're on a planet of 7 billion. Whale's mouth could do the job, but slowly, and there's a more efficient way. And every one of those in key posts in the UN put in by Herr Horst Berthold knows that way.
No, Dosker said, his face an ugly, putty-colored gray. That went out in 1945.
Are you sure? Would you want to emigrate?
He was silent, and then, stunning her, he said, Yes.
What? Why?
Dosker said, I will emigrate. Tonight at 6, noon New York time, with laser pistol in my left hand, and I'll kick them in the groin. I want to get at them, if that's what they're doing. I can't wait.
You won't be able to do a thing as soon as you emerge
with my bare hands. I'll get one of them. Anyone will do.
Start here. Start with Horst Berthold.
He stared at her then.
We have Weptex,
Freya said, and then ceased speaking as the flapple door was opened by another cheerful attendant.
Found the short, Al?
He asked.
Yes,
Al Dosker said. He fumbled under the dashboard, his face concealed.
She'll be okay now. Recharge the metabat, stick it back in, and she can take off.
The other attendant, satisfied, departed. Freya and Al Dosker were alone once more, briefly, with a flapple door hanging open.
You may be wrong, Dosker said.
Freya said,
It's got to be something like that. It can't be 300 assorted shape volunteer army privates, because Ferry and Berthold, or at least one of them, would have moved in. And that's the one fact we know. We know what they're like. There just cannot, Dosker, be a power vacuum at Whale's Mouth.
All ready to go, miss,
one of the other attendants called. The Flapple's articulation circuit asserted,
I feel a million times better. I'm now prepared to depart for your original destination, sir or madam, as soon as the superfluous individual has disemflappled.
Dosker, trembling, said,
I don't know what to do.
Don't go to Ferry or Berthold. Begin at that.
He nodded. Evidently she had reached him. That part was over.
Matt will need all the help he can get, she said, from 6 o'clock on, from the moment his first field rep hits Whale's Mouth. Dosker, why don't you go? Even if you're a pilot, not a rep, maybe you can help him.
The Flapple started its motor up irritably.
Please, sir or madam, if you will request.
Are you teleporting? Dosker asked her. With them?
Freya said,
I'm scheduled to cross at 5 to rent living quarters for Matt and me. I'll be, remember this so you can find us, Mrs. Sylvia Trent, and Matt will be Stuart Trent, okay?
Okay.
Dosker mumbled, backed out, shut the flapple door. The flapple began to ascend at once. And she relaxed, and spat out the capsule of prussic acid, dropped it into the disposal chute of the flapple, then reset her watch. What she had said to Dosker, God knew, was the truth. She knew it, and could do nothing to dissuade Matson. On the far side, professionals would be in wait, and even if they didn't anticipate the coup, even if there had been no leak and they saw no connection between the 2,000 male individuals scattered all over the world, applying at every Telpor outlet on Terra, even so, she knew they would be able to handle Matt. He was just not that big, and they could handle him. But he did not believe it, because Matt saw the possibility of power. It was a gaff that had hooked deep in his side, and the wound spilled with the blood of yearning. Suppose it was true. Suppose only a 300-man army existed. Suppose. The hope and possibility inflamed him. And babies, she thought, as the flapple carried her toward the new New York offices of Lies Incorporated, are discovered under cabbages. Sure, Matt. You keep on believing.